The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to all those who are joining us in person, and welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good to be here together, and together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. This is the third Sunday of Epiphany, and it is also the Sunday of our annual meeting. So all of our members, we have asked that you sign in at the desk and get your program. And after the annual meeting, we will have our meeting immediately following service. And then we will, after the meeting, we will go downstairs and eat. So about service, meeting, eat for all of our members. For all of our non-members and our friends and our visitors, you are free and welcome to participate in all of that. We are welcome to, after the service, stay where you're at, have a program. The only thing you can't do is vote. We have a tally number, so you know if you cheat, because you can't have more votes than people signed in. But you are free to be here. You are free to go downstairs. If you want to eat with us, but don't want to be at the meeting, you can, after service, go downstairs and have an extended moment of coffee and fellowship while the rest of us go downstairs. You're free to stay. You're free to wait up. And you're free to do whatever you want. But we hope and we invite that everyone here will have a chance to have our meeting and then meet together downstairs. So you are all welcome to all of that, or as little of that as you feel comfortable with. But know that this space is open and welcome. I know that's a lot to introduce, and I just want to say one other thing, that if when you're signing in, you thought you were a member, but you're actually not, and you want to rectify that, that's an easy fix. Just talk to me about it. You don't force membership on people, and so even you might be, have been here for a long time, but that doesn't automatically make you a member until you intentionally ask to be a member. So if you're upset about that or whatever happened earlier and you want to take that other step, just let me know and we can rectify that almost immediately. So welcome this Sunday, and let us begin the words in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We invite us now to stand for all those who can stand, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, Creator of darkness and light, Word of truth, wind sweeping over the waters.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. God, our rock and refuge.
We pour out our hearts before you. We have known you, but have not always loved you. We have wounded one another and sinned against you. We have not always recognized the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. Remember your covenant. Renew your creation. Restore us that we might proclaim your good news to all.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God has spoken. The time of grace is now. In Jesus, the reign of God has come near. And by the authority of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. You are God's beloved.
Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you gathered the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken,
and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now we invite all the children to come forward for a brief children's message. How's everyone today? Good, good. Okay, it's close enough. Well, I have a question for you today. Have you anyone been to a museum lately? Or ever? What museum have you been at?
There's one in Colorado. I don't know exactly what it's called, though.
But anyone else been to a museum? Okay, you have. Yeah, you've been. What's in a museum?
Things.
Things are in a museum?
Art. Things.
Arts are in a museum?
Artifacts, like ancient artifacts sometimes.
Yeah, artifacts, ancient stuff. Depends on the type of museum. I got a picture of a museum in New York that has art. And so, right, some art. More art. So we go to museums to see things, right? Sometimes we'll... All right, so we go to museums to see things that are neat, right? Maybe art, maybe something of history. So we've all been to a museum. How many of you have been to a hospital? Or a doctor's office? What's in a hospital or a doctor's office? Patients,
Nurses,
yeah. People are in the hospital to care for other people, and people come there because they need some kind of treatment, right? They're sick, or they're injured, or they're about to give birth, so they need some medical attention. So a museum is where cool things are on display. A hospital is where people go who need care. And now, we're in a church. What's in a church? Is a church a hospital or a museum?
Nope, it's both.
How do you say it's both? So explain.
There's art.
Yeah, there's art. Yeah. So it's kind of like a museum?
Yeah.
Has a museum-ness to it? Artifacts, fancy stuff. What about the people who come here? Are so we're also kind of like a hospital. And so the church, we gather not as fancy relics of pure sainthood, but we come and we gather together because we are here because we are hurting inside, or we're sick inside, or we're hurt inside, or we just need God's love. So church is for when you need care, some divine care. And so we have a very famous saint who said that a church is not a museum of saints, but it's a hospital for sinners. And it is here that we receive God's love. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for the church.
Thank you for the church.
Thank you that we can be healed.
Thank you that we can be healed.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad I didn't start too soon and deprive everyone of that beautiful anthem. Almost did. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Hear now the word. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 111. It's on page 3 of your bulletin. Please read it with me. I'll read the plain text if you'll read the bold. Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation.
Great are your works, O Lord, honored by all who delight in them.
Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever. You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant.
You have shown your people the power of your mercy, giving them the lands of the nations.
The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure. You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice this have a good understanding. God's praise endures forever.
The second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8. Hear now the word. Now, concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, and in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It's not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So, by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed. They kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." And at once his fame began to spread into all the regions. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I was there a few years ago in my last interview to be approved to be a minister in the church. It was that final interview after years of work, and that year alone I must have written close to 100 pages of different essays and internships and evaluations, and it all came down to this one moment. This interview. And I sat there with that cold, clammy hand, really nervous about what would be the outcome, because, again, it all comes down to this. And there in the last question of the last interview, they asked this question. And it was the one question that I was completely unprepared to answer. Because the question went like this. You have written time and time again now over the last couple of years of how important surfing is to your own spirituality and understanding. But you have not once put a surfing image or metaphor or symbol into anything you've written. So now, give us a surfing metaphor for the spiritual journey. As I said, I didn't see that one coming. So I'm scrambling in my mind to think about what to say, and then I recalled this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I have to warn you right now, this is going to be a doozy of a quote, so bear with me. You know, we spent a lot of time last week talking about truths that are held in tension that sound contradictory. And so this quote, this is the way Bonhoeffer talks, is going to sound like that. So just hold on. Bonhoeffer writes, I maintain, and I still do, that catching a wave is pure grace, pure moment of grace from God. I did not earn it, I don't merit it, but there in that moment of catching a wave, you are in communion with the Spirit of God. In this, the last breath of this dying swell. Because that is nothing, that is what that wave is. The swell that creates, that was created hundreds or maybe 1,000 miles out at sea. And it's coming, circling the globe. And it will continue to circle for almost forever. That is, until it comes across something called land. And then that swell becomes a wave, and then as it breathes its last, it turns into that pattern that a surfer can surf on. So you are literally, when you're surfing, in that moment of death and life. Something has died, is dying. You there get this chance of pure grace to connect with Spirit in a very holy and sacred moment. Pure grace. Pure grace. And yet, in order to get to that spot, I have to paddle out on my oar. I have to sit out there. I have to wait. I have to put myself in a position where faith is possible. The wave is grace, and yet I still need to be in a spot. Now, me being in the spot doesn't change the truth of the statement, right? We know that right now, as we speak, God is reconciling the whole world in Christ Jesus back to God. And we know right now, as we speak, there's a wave crashing at Agate Beach right now that someone could surf on. We know those things are true. The question is, how do we encounter them? And the wisdom of Bonhoeffer is we need to put ourselves in a place in which we can encounter that. And that is what I think is occurring in our text this morning. You notice they're in the synagogue. They're in the gathered community of the believers. They're there to worship. And it is there in that setting of worship and gathering together that this individual with an unclean spirit is. He has come and put himself in a place where faith is possible. And this is important. Look at the text. There is no indication in the text that this community rejected this individual. And this is surprising and shocking because the word here is unclean spirit. This is not an evil spirit. This is not a bad spirit. We will encounter those later in our text. But this is a spirit who renders you unclean. And to be ritually unclean in Judaism of that day meant you could not be around other people. You could not be around in the synagogue. And this uncleanliness was contagious. But where is he? He is right there in the community. He is right there. There is no indication that this community rejected him, excluded him. We don't have any of those questions that we ask ourselves when something bad has happened. You know those questions that go something like, so, where exactly were you when you acquired this unclean spirit? Or the other way we say it, what exactly were you doing when you got that unclean spirit? It's not really a question, right? It's more of a statement of judgmental, it's your fault. But we don't get that in Mark. No. This person was there in the community. And there in the community, he receives the pure grace and mercy of this healing of Jesus. pure grace. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. And if he had decided to stay home that Saturday morning and rest in his bed, he wouldn't have been in that situation to have encountered grace. And so the question is, do we, are we putting ourselves in positions where faith is possible? And I get this question often as a pastor. How can I grow in my spiritual journey? How do I grow in the mystery of prayer? Well, you need to pray. How can I experience God in silence? Well, you need to be silent. If you want to experience God in this mystery of this table, we have to come together and eat it together. We can put ourselves in places where faith is possible. But now there's a doubt. I'm going to wrap this up quickly because I know it's a long day. But we rarely, intentionally, put ourselves in places where faith is possible. And this is where the grace and mercy of God and the leading of the Spirit occurs. Because most of the times, we turn the other way. Most of the times, we board that ship like Jonah did and tried to sail to the other side of the world away from. So sometimes we turn away by accident or intention. Sometimes it's just neglect where we don't want to put ourselves in places where faith is possible. And yet still God moves in our midst in grace and mercy in those moments to bring us to a place where faith is possible. Because it is always the grace and mercy of God. Never. But friends, as we prepare for our annual meeting, I encourage you, invite you, that this passage becomes our message that we carry with us for this year. That this image of a community where faith is possible. May we be in the year to come and continue to be a community of safety, of non-judgment, a community open and welcoming for anyone who wishes to come and put themselves in a place where faith is possible, can come and feel safe and secure in this community. May we be kind to each other, because oftentimes we feel the judgment ourselves and need to be safe to be here. May we be a community of safe haven for all those seeking to put themselves in a place where faith is possible. And may it also be a community where we find ways to make faith possible. And here, in the work we do in this building, through study and prayer together in fellowship, and not just here, because the church building is not the only place faith is possible. Faith is mostly possible as a gathered community. We go back out into the world to give and love and tell them the promise of God's unending presence and love in all of our lives. So may we be in this coming year, this synagogue community that's in our text, this precious gathering, this thing that we call church. We're here in this place, faith is possible. And may we be the ones who paddle out on our board into that great ocean of faith where that wave of pure grace is coming. Amen.
Thank you.
As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all of creation. Loving God, we pray that your example of teaching with confidence and authority builds up your church in love. May all church leaders and teachers honor your instruction and model your inclusive ways. God of grace. Renewing God, we pray for all of creation, that waterways flow clean and clear, natural spaces are protected, and our planet is healed. Let us commit to thoughtful care of the earth. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Justice-seeking God, we pray for those in government and community leadership, that they lead with honor and mindfulness. May they remember their covenants and be upright in their ways. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Compassionate God, we pray for all in need, especially those who have known rejection, and who struggle with long-term illness or chronic pain, those without access to safe housing or health care, and any who suffer, especially Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Brad, Meredith, Helen, Mike, Olga, Judy, Brandy, Daylight, victims of the war in Ukraine, and the Israel-Hamas war, earthquake victims in Morocco. Pray for St. Timothy Church and for recovery efforts in Maui. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Still speaking God, we pray for our congregation, for its artists and musicians, for its educators and caregivers, that all gifts are used to care for those in need and to live out your example of accompaniment, gospel witness, and love. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Eternal God, we remember all who have been teachers, mentors, and companions in the church and in our lives, especially Thomas Aquinas, whom we commemorate today. We trust that all who have died rest in your loving care. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
invite us all now to stand as we sing our offering hymn. Meet us at this table that we may receive what we seek and follow your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray.
Amen. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. And we look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come amongst us. Bless this meal. Make your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light and bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel. Word of God incarnate. Power of the Most High. One God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered one with by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Savior comes.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. This is the table of God, the gifts of God for the people of God, and all are welcome to this table. In the moment, the usher will come forward and will ask you to fill it from right to left, and you may receive this sacrament either standing or kneeling in whatever way is most comfortable to you. And then we ask you to come with your hand extended, receive the element in your hand, and then to reach in for the container of the wine and the glasses that are dark red, fine, and the clear liquid is grape juice. If you wish to just come forward for a blessing, we ask you to come with your arms crossed. But know that all who come here will encounter the presence and grace of God here for all. Amen.
Thank you.
giver of every gift. Christ's body is our food, and we are Christ's body. Raise us to life by your power for the benefit of all and to your glory now and forever.
Amen.
Now we have that moment where we pause for any announcements and a reminder that immediately after the sending, we're going to stand up and sit back down for the annual meeting, and then it'll be rude and fellowship time downstairs after that. All are welcome to stay for all of that. Is there any other announcements?
I still need some people to help with the canteen on Friday at the blood drive. So if you could either text me, phone me, or grab me today and let me know if you can help, I'd really appreciate the help. Thanks.
I just want to bring everyone's attention that we will have the Earth Summit here next Sunday at 1 o'clock downstairs. It's an invitation from Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon to engage in some intentional time around the issues of the earth and the care of creation. I've sent out some links to that. It means a lot to me if you help support this cause of creating this Earth Summit and an annual tradition here. And with that, let us prepare our hearts for the meditation. God, who names you, Christ, who claims you, and the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you, bless you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Serve the Lord.
But we need to stand up and stretch, that's okay, because Marion still needs to come down from up front. Does anyone need any of our programs? Yeah, all of our members are signing.